Joseph Pasek of barnburner.ca, our daily podcast entitled Fired Up. And it's my pleasure to welcome once again Andrew Buckles, a Canadian football insider here. And, well, this came as sort of a shock as the Argos won the Grey Cup and now they're sold, but they're sold to basically the same company, MLSE, because their chairman, Larry Tannenbaum, runs MLSE also. Now, MLSE is Maple Leaf Sports Entertainment. So Maple Leaf Sports Entertainment has the Leafs, the Raptors, TFC, again, the champions, also the Marlies. Big question is, okay, they purchased the Argos now, but recently, in the last week or two, Rogers has come out saying they may want to sell the Blue Jays. So are we looking at a multi-sports entity with MLSE? And specifically, let's talk about the Argos winning the Grey Cup, being sold. What is that, or does that do anything for the Argos for next year?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a few things going on here. I don't think that it's certainly not a bad thing that they were sold right after winning the Grey Cup when you consider who they are being sold to. It's not the current owners getting out at all. It's a third owner in Rogers coming in, and it's essentially integrating the Argonauts more with the rest of Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment. And now, it's worth keeping in mind that when the Argonauts were sold the last time around to Bell and to Larry Tannenbaum, the idea was initially folding them into Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, but Rogers is a partner there, and at that time, Rogers didn't want to be involved with the Argos and didn't want to be involved with the CFL. So the question really is, what has changed? And a lot of the motivation here may well depend on what the actual price is and who really instigated it. If it's a decent price, and if this was at Rogers' instigation, that they wanted to get involved with the Argonauts, that's certainly a good sign for the team. That would be a sign that Rogers believes in them and wanted to get in on what their partners were doing. However, if it was instigated from the other side, and if Rogers isn't really paying all that much to get in here, that could be more problematic. There's reasons the other side might want to do that. It's a lot easier to run several layers of the Argos if they're officially an MLSE team rather than a two-thirds MLSE team. There's a lot of overlap they can do with other MLSE departments on marketing, HR, and those sorts of things. But there's also questions about wanting to maybe spread out potential losses for the Argos and having a bigger partner there to help balance that with it being not just Bell and Larry Tannenbaum. So there's a lot we don't know at this point about the finances involved and who really started this. I think it's a good thing for the Argonauts to have Rogers added as an owner and to have more thoroughly part of MLSE, but there's a lot of questions about just what led to it.
All right, here's my question. Okay, Rogers owns the Blue Jays, owns the Rogers Centre, formerly SkyDome. They wanted the Argos out of SkyDome. Mm-hmm. Now, theoretically, the Argos moved to BMO Field and, you know, open air and all that, but they didn't sell whatever. They were about the same at SkyDome or Rogers Centre. Now, could the Argos move back to the Rogers Centre because TFC has complained about wanting to be the sole tenant of BMO Field, and now TFC is a MLS champion? Could that play a factor?
Yeah, I mean, you certainly can't rule that out. There's much more of a possibility of the Argos going back to the Rogers Centre now that they are partly owned by Rogers, because a big part of getting them out of there was about Rogers wanting that for the Blue Jays. Now, with that said, I don't think this is all that terribly likely, because it works so much better for just about everyone involved to have the Argonauts playing at BMO Field. It's much easier to match their schedule with an MLS team that plays a couple of times a week at worst than it is with the Blue Jays, who play every day for long stretches at a time, and especially when it comes to the playoffs and so on. That's why a couple of years ago you had the Argonauts kicked out of Rogers Center and relocated for home games on the road, which was just a really horrible thing for them. Also, given the types of crowds that the Argonauts are drawing and that there isn't really a chance of getting 30,000 or more at the moment, it doesn't really make sense for them, from their perspective, to be in the Rogers Center. BMO Field is a much better experience for them, especially with a small crowd, but it'd be a better experience anyway. It's a better venue for football. It's something where they can do parking lot tailgates and that. And it's clearly a more desirable place for them. They put a lot into making that their home, and I think they certainly want to keep it that way. And I think from an overall perspective of MLSE, of Rogers, and so on, it does the least damage to all of their properties to have the Argonauts at BMO Field rather than at the Rogers Center. Granted, there are concerns from TFC, and the concerns about impacts on the turf are always going to be there, but they seem to have found enough ways to mitigate that and make that more of an annoyance and really a huge problem at the moment. And I think that the status quo of the Argos at BMO Field is most likely to continue.
Okay, final points here. Let's stay away from the Argos here. The Lions have appointed Ed Hervey as their GM, and Wally Bronnell is going to be head coach for one more final year. Trevor Harris re-signs with the Red Blacks. The Argos make a trade for a backup, or going to be a starter eventually once Ricky Ray retires. A lot of action in the CFL recently.
Yeah, absolutely. All of those moves are pretty notable. I think maybe the most surprising one was the Argos going out and getting James Franklin. Franklin's just been a hotly demanded quarterback for a while, and there were plenty of rumors of lots of CFL teams and maybe even NFL teams trying to bring him in free agency this year. I think it's smart for the Argos to make a deal in advance like this if they feel they have a pretty good shot at getting him to actually sign. If they don't, then of course it becomes wasted assets. But it's smart for the Eskimos to move him on. I mean, they've got the reigning most outstanding player in Mike Riley. They're not getting rid of him anytime soon. And Franklin likely is going to be a CFL starter somewhere before too long, and likely was not going to come back to Edmonton because he would be buried behind Riley. So I think it's a move that could work out well for both sides. I think we could see Franklin sign in Toronto, especially if he's willing to not demand a starting job right away if Ricky Ray does come back. And it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. The Trevor Harris move is notable, too, as it's pretty similar to what happened with Franklin. Harris was with Argos, was the backup, was trapped behind Ricky Ray, chose to leave and sign with Ottawa as a backup last year, and then eventually got some starting time when Henry Burris was first hurt and then ineffective, then really took over this year. I think it makes and he really is a case in point of how that backup moving to another team situation can play out very well. So is Mike Riley, who we mentioned before, who did that from BC to Edmonton a few years back. So if James Franklin is able to be patient, then maybe he can follow the Trevor Harris career path. Out in BC, that's definitely notable, too. I think Ed Hervey has shown that he is a very smart football guy. He's certainly got great eye for CFL talent. He will have to maybe watch some of the off-field stuff and the interactions with the media a bit more. As that got him into some trouble in Edmonton, but I think he's a guy who absolutely deserves a spot in this league. I'm interested to see how he works with Wally Bono, and I'm interested to see how he sets BC up for the future.
And don't forget, Hamilton, they appointed as a full-time coach, June Jones, and he made a statement, and I know you're going to laugh at who he said. Johnny Manziel is totally equipped and could be an all-star in the Canadian Football League. Your thoughts, and do you think Johnny Manziel will play, forget about one game, one down in the Canadian Football League next year?
Yeah, I mean, all-star is bad enough in its own right and is relatively impossible, but what's really crazy was what June Jones said about Johnny Manziel having the potential to be the best ever in the Canadian Football League, long before he's ever played a down in this game. I think that really shows, in a lot of ways, June Jones' ignorance of the recent history of the CFL and of the CFL's history in general, and just some of the amazing players that have played in this game. And he mentioned that Manziel has rushing skills. Well, sure, he does, but he doesn't have rushing skills that are necessarily comparable to the likes of a Damon Allen, a guy who just really defined what a running quarterback can be. So I don't think those comments were very smart from June Jones. I think that puts a lot of pressure on Manziel if he does eventually wind up in the CFL. I think that has a lot of people even more ready to criticize him with this thought that, oh, well, he thinks he can just walk in here and take over this league. And I think it puts him under even more of a microscope. The chances of Manziel playing do seem to be rising, though. I mean, we've seen comments from the commissioner, Randy Ambrosi, that he's met with Manziel. He's been impressed with how he's developed. It's far from a sure thing that he'll be allowed in yet. They're doing a lot of evaluations with professionals with regards to Manziel's off-field issues, his accusations of domestic violence in the past and so on, allegations of drinking problems and so on. So I think there's still quite a ways to go, but everything does seem to be sort of in favor of Manziel actually signing in the CFL in Hamilton. If he does sign there, he's certainly going to get some opportunities. I don't know if he's your day one starter, and a lot of that really depends on how quickly he adapts to the Canadian game and how well he does in training camp. But June Jones is incredibly high on him. I think he will get a chance, and I think he could grow into a good CFL quarterback with time. Maybe he could even be an all-star down the road. I don't think he does that this year. I don't think he's ever going to be the best ever, but he's certainly an interesting guy to look at.
All right, final question. We're going to close it off with, we started with the best team, the Argos, the Grey Cup champions. We'll end it off with the worst team, the Montreal Alouettes. What are the Alouettes going to do this offseason? They made some trades already.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
And, you know, what they got to be better than, you know, a lot of people in Montreal. You know, if you're a Montreal fan, you hate Toronto always. And then you look at, you know, Mark Trespin and Jim Pop brought in March, and they are Grey Cup champions.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of issues going on in Montreal. There's a lot of things they're going to have to address this offseason. I think a big question is going to be, what do they do at quarterback? Obviously, they tried Darian Durant this year. That didn't really work out too well. I don't think they're going to stick with him going into next year, because they really need to get younger and to really develop somebody there, but they don't have any obvious answers. And that's sort of a larger problem with the Alouettes at the moment. When Pop left, they had a lot of money tied up in 18 expensive guys who weren't necessarily still performing at high level. I don't think Kavis Reed, as general manager, has really fixed that so far. And I'm curious to see how things are going to work out on the coaching front. We saw them fire Jacques Chapdelaine this year. We saw Reed step in himself. There's obviously some issues there, and it's going to be a very interesting offseason in Montreal. I think they really need to rebuild and need to get younger and need to get better, but I'm not sure if they really have the patience to do so based on their moves so far.
All right, that's Andrew Buckles. Andrew, tell everybody how they could get a hold of you.
Absolutely. You can follow me on Twitter at Andrew Buckles. You can read my CFL pieces on barnburner.ca. You can read my U Sports writing, Canadian University, over at usports.ca. And you can read my sports media work at Awful Announcing and The Comeback.
And Andrew, on behalf of myself and everybody at the team, I'd like to wish you a very happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and to you and your family, and may 2018 be a better year than 2017. Thanks a lot, Andrew.
Thanks very much. Thank you.